This is episode 325 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, March 28, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew McComb, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. The internet is now an essential part of Australians' day-to-day life, and we're nearly all becoming members of social network sites such as Twitter and Facebook. The scary thing about not just these companies, but any company on the internet, free does not necessarily mean free. If you read the fine print in the terms and conditions of use of these large companies' sites, you'll notice the information you share with them will be collected and used for other things, such as the on-sale of your details to third-party organisations, such as advertisers. This, in the scale of things, may not bother most, but it's the things to come that may make us regret our sign-ups and willfully spilling our private lives online for all or even just our friends to see. Last week, the ABC's program Hungry Beast commissioned a survey to find out how Australians interact online. 1,046 adults were surveyed, and the results were surprising, despite the small sample. What wasn't surprising is that social media plays a major part of life today, be it online or offline. Of the total number of respondents, 82% were members of at least one social networking site, females marginally more than males, and proportional to age, with the 18 to 29s making up 96% and the 55 plus group a surprising 72%. The most socially connected states are Victoria and Tasmania at 84%, and the least social state was Queensland at 77%. Of the respondents who are currently members of a social networking site, the Hungry Beast survey found 76% were members of Facebook, 35% were members of YouTube, and 17% tweeted regularly, confirming the top three social sites. So it appears that Australians love to network, but this doesn't appear to be the norm in other parts of the world. The German government forced Google to pixelate houses and buildings on the request of its citizens, which resulted in a backlash by some. The vandalisation of the Google camera car recently also highlights the lack of willingness of some Germans to be part of the Google Street View project. So when it comes to protecting your privacy online, are you blasé about your every move being stored in a server outside of Australia's legal jurisdiction? Will it come back to haunt you when you least expect it? Or will it fall into the wrong hands, albeit advertisers, or maybe worse? Time will no doubt tell.
This week on Tech Talk Radio,
we take a look at privacy on the internet and, importantly, how Australians value their online anonymity. Telstra and Optus take NBN Co. and each other to task over cherry-picking and insider trading. Firefox 4 beats IE9 in the first day of downloads, and Adam Turner compares internet radio to digital radio. That's all to come on today's edition of Tech Talk Radio. But first up, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Apple's iPad 2 hits Australian shores. Changes to NBN legislation get through the Senate just. Australian soldiers in Afghanistan post racist slurs on Facebook. And Kaspersky gets on board Formula One. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The wait for the Australian Apple faithful is over. On Friday last week at 5 p.m, the latest and greatest iGadget went on sale for the first time in retail outlets across the country. The iPad 2 is the latest must-have for Apple aficionados. The iPad 2 tablet computer is thinner and lighter than its predecessor and includes two cameras and a faster processor. It also features a built-in gyroscope for improved motion-sensitive gaming. The base 16GB model is priced at $579, while the top-end 3G Wi-Fi model with 64GB of storage is priced at $949. Each model is between $80 and $120 more expensive than in the United States, despite the Australian dollar being at near parity with its US counterpart. Some of this difference is explained by GST, as US pricing generally excludes taxes. Apple has sold more than 15 million iPads around the world, and the Herald Sun reported that buyers are still queuing up for the iPad 2 in US stores nearly 3 weeks after it first went on sale. Two pieces of critical NBN legislation were passed by the Senate on Friday night. First was the National Broadband Network Companies Bill 2010, and second was the wordy Telecommunications Legislation Amendments National Broadband Network Measures Access Arrangements Bill 2011. Both were passed by the Senate with a number of amendments moved by the government, the Greens, and Independent Senator Nick Xenophon. Minister for Communications, Senator the Honourable Stephen Conroy, welcomed the passage of the legislation and said that passage of these bills further underpinned the Gillard government's policy to deliver structural reform of the telecommunications industry. The government attempted unsuccessfully to move an additional 35 amendments to the legislation. One proposed amendment would have given NBN Co. the power to veto any ruling on points of interconnect made by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. This amendment was blocked by Mr. Xenophon and Green Senator Scott Ludlam. Industry analysts have been critical of some last-minute amendments, which they say will enable NBN Co. to compete with telcos in retail service provision. One amendment might enable NBN Co. to compete with Optus and Telstra in the provision of retail services to utilities and possibly big banks. The Chief Executive Officer of Optus, Mr. Paul O'Sullivan.
Well, we're going to have under NBN Co. a government-owned company which is going to own the only fixed network which supplies services to 93% of Australian homes. Sounds familiar? That's what we used to have with Telstra. This time around, we've wanted to work with the government to make sure that there are the necessary safeguards and checks and balances to prevent the sort of monopolistic behaviour we saw with Telstra. This bill is very important because with the right amendments it can achieve that, but if we don't get the right amendments, then we will take a step backwards.
Both bills will return to the House of Representatives next week for MPs to consider the Senate amendments. Australian soldiers are now in the metaphorical firing line over images, videos and comments posted on the social networking site Facebook. A military investigation is underway into allegations that some soldiers in Afghanistan have made racist comments relating to Afghans, as well as making inappropriate remarks against the Australian Prime Minister, Julia Gillard. The Executive Director of the Australia Defence Association, Mr. Neil James, spoke on government radio last week and said that the Facebook posts would damage the Defence Force's credibility in Afghanistan.
You know, I mean, not only are they unprofessional and disgraceful in themselves, but in a counterinsurgency war, it's very important that you carry the local population with you. And what they've in effect done is give the enemy propaganda to use against us in the worst possible way.
In a statement released last week, the Acting Chief of Army, Major General Paul Simon, acknowledged the comments could cause deep offence and said that the Army was appalled by the behaviour. Major General Simon said it is totally unacceptable and does not represent Army values of courage, initiative and teamwork. An investigation is underway and those involved face discipline or administrative action. And makers of popular antivirus and internet security software, Kaspersky Lab, last week announced the release of a special edition of their software in partnership with Ferrari. In an announcement which coincides with the launch of the Formula One season in Melbourne, the new software will be launched officially at the end of this month. IT Wire reported that the internet security package would include a host of Ferrari-specific features set to keep the rev heads happy. Kaspersky Internet Security 2011 will include a new Ferrari-themed user interface and even the Ferrari Virtual Academy video game. I'm not Graeme Callaghan, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello.
When you have to go, you have to go.
What happened to my news segment at the front of the show?
When you don't have a back end to have to worry about.
Cut, hack, slash.
Is that a problem?
If there were endless suppliers and they were easy to get everywhere, then you would think, oh, do I really need to buy an iPad 2?
Finally, common sense has prevailed, it would seem.
Angst, upset, confusion, antagonism.
Well, what bothers me is, as Dr. Ron said in the news this evening,
the digital revolution makes it easy to obtain a copy of a movie or a TV show without depriving the owner of the original.
Well, la-di-da, not flying all the way over there.
No. One of those Jetson flying car technologies that we've been promised since the 50s.
Where's my hoverboard?
Please, no more denial of service attacks.
The smart covers look amazing. Have you seen the video of them in action? They're very impressive.
Well, you pay redirection to message bank.
It was dark, so I used my flashlight.
Yes.
Cisco is in our chat room. He'll be saying yes. And your point being?
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Across in front of me this evening, three very willing, capable, and sort of somewhat able people. Dr. Ron sitting front and centre in a black T-shirt, sponsored by Gary's Car Radio. Come in. Over.
Bass. Over. How you doing, all right?
Yes, been a good week so far, but it's only Monday for us, unless you're listening on the podcast on Friday. Then it's been a great week.
It's been a great week, yeah.
And to your left, the leprechaun of the group this evening, our in-house giggler. How are you this evening? Cough, cough, splutter, splutter.
I'm getting there.
Yeah?
I'll be right as rain next week, hopefully.
That's the voice of Lena Van De... here we go. I can try again. Lena Van Deventer.
Correct.
Hey, I'll get it right. It's only been a while. And down the end, the voice of reason and nuclear power, Dr. Graham.
The Rob Oakeshott of Tech Talk Radio.
That's the one.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, have we had emails to see this week? But anyway, we'll let Dr. Ron can prevail on that in just a few moments. Before we kick off on tonight's show, in case you want to know, daylight savings in Melbourne, which is where we originate from, changes as of the end of this week. So this is the last Tech Talk Radio. Wherever you're listening to us live around the world, take note, Cisco, who's in the chat at the moment, and a few others there from faraway lands, that we'll be on an hour. Now, here we go. Are we earlier or later next week? Because what do? We
wind
the
clocks. Putting our clocks back.
We get a sleep in.
So we get an extra hour. We get a sleep in. And the other side of the world, they'll put their clocks forward.
And most of America changed their clocks a week or two ago.
Oh, so they're 2 hours out now. That's right, because LID does that in Palo Alto.
Yeah, they're not lined up at the moment. So, they change in a different week than we do.
The tectonic plates have moved yet again.
It's very complicated.
It is. So, yes, that's the time zone announcements for the beginning of the show. Now, also, just a general observation, because we love surveys here. Let me turn my laptop down, because it's making lots of noise when people chat.
I was like, you. Yeah. I was wondering who's wasn't muted.
I did that on ABC Radio during the course of the week. I left my phone up, and I was getting tweets, because we were talking about Twitter on ABC Radio.
Yep.
And my phone kept going off, and I was like, what's that noise? So I'm guilty as charged. But we had a lot of fun on ABC Radio during the course of the week. People with Twitter and things like that.
Don't they have phone police in the ABC to tell you to turn your phone off before you go into the little booth?
Well, I had computers and all sorts of things. But it was a bit like Tech Talk Radio comes to the ABC. It was great. People slinging insults and things around. It was a lot of fun. It was great to do it on the government broadcaster. But what I was going to say is today I had the pleasure of being in a doctor's surgery. And I did a survey whilst I was sitting there in the waiting room.
Oh, yes.
Glanced across those in the
form. You've got to be careful. Not one of those ones where you fill in the form and you might win a car or a boat or something.
No.
Because you end up on the spam list.
You do indeed, don't you? But no, I just looked around. I did a bit of a survey of people in the waiting room. There were 10 people. I counted them twice just to check.
Yeah.
Of those 10 people, three of them were reading paper magazines.
Right.
Yeah, what are they? You know, Dolly? You surely know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they were reading paper magazines. Two people were just, snoozing, kicking back, relaxing, eyes shut, just waiting to do whatever they do.
So that's five.
And the other five people were on their little smartphone-y type sort of things. Of the smartphone-y type sort of things, three of them were the new, Apple gadget, the iPhone 4. Okay. And they were all sitting there. And they were traditionally of the female folk that were using those iPhone 4s. And then there was yours.
iPhone 4s. iPhone's a bit of a girl's thing these days.
Yeah, it is indeed.
I knew that would get a reaction.
That's why there's someone sitting between you and the other voice that you just heard on the radio.
No, that's just because I don't want to catch a flu.
Dr. Ron, duck.
Thin ice.
And the two blokes there, myself included, we were Android based. We were sitting there,
very sensible.
On HTC device. I can't. Yeah, I don't
know my point, really.
Yeah, well, I couldn't see whether he was a Droid man or he was a Windows man. He might have been a Phone 7 man. I don't know.
But it wasn't an iPhone.
It wasn't an iPhone. Speaking of Windows, next week, Dave Glover, Microsoft, in the studio, in the hot chair, probably where you're sitting, Dr. Ron.
next. Are you being serious this time? Real? Is it going
to
happen?
We've still got a week to go, and as people in the chat will probably no doubt said, yeah, this is a bit like a Phone 7 update. But Dave has promised.
We can ask him if it's a bit like a Phone 7 update. Yeah, a week is a long time in Microsoft, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And he'll be talking about Microsoft's Windows Phone 7.
Phone 7, where it's come from, where it's going to, and where it's stalled.
Yeah, how they plan to dominate in a market where there's so many are so far ahead already.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Now, speaking of gadgets, our leprechaun on
lending,
the end there.
Lending their CEO Lena.
I'm not a leprechaun.
Nokia, well, you're wearing a beautiful green Irish top there.
That's why she's a leprechaun. I didn't realise. I couldn't know why you were green.
When I was away, I was the squeaky one, and now I'm a leprechaun.
She does listen. Well, you know,
people listening can't see that she's wearing green.
No.
If we had a television camera in here, we could key out her top and change colour. Yes,
I see.
She's got she's put in an order for one of these new iPad 2 thingies. As thick as some. Do tell.
No, I'm getting the iPad 2, 32 gig black Wi-Fi.
When?
In 2-3 weeks.
Ah.
Mm.
Did you pre-order?
No. Well, yes.
The pre-orders being those that had to be made after. The device was launched.
It was before 5...
You post-pre-ordered.
Yeah, it was on the day of launch, but it was before they were in the stores. So 5 o'clock, you could go get one of the stores open. You could physically grab one if you lined up. But I put my order in about 1 o'clock, I think.
Do you have to go get it, or does it get delivered? A little man in a truck comes around.
Little man in a truck comes.
Oh, good.
So what model was it, Lena? Did you say 64 gig?
32 gig Wi-Fi.
32 gig Wi-Fi. So you're looking at about $689.
Yep, and I plussed a leather smart cover onto that. So I'm adding
$80. Onto that.
Yep, I plussed it.
Now, I got threatened with a fork in the eye for using the word event, which is a perfectly valid English word.
No, not when it's weather. You can't buy tickets to
and
the
Lena's not selling tickets to her iPad.
Yes, I'm not. But, I got the smart cover as well, which adds about $80.
You plussed it onto that.
Yes. I am going to leap over in a minute.
It's going to be a blue before the night's out.
And we haven't got the webcam.
I'm in the firing line. There's
absolutely.
No webcam.
You come around this side of the bench, you'll be
you
safe.
In a minute.
I'll push you out of the way first, don't worry.
Oh, dear.
It's going to get nasty.
Yeah,
all right, shall we move on?
Wait till we hear the correspondence. It's only going to go downhill from here.
Absolutely. Chad, if you would like to contribute to our correspondence, because there's a lot out there. Also, we've had some good entrants for the app of the week, too, by the way.
We've had some very good ones. Come and join Andrew and Andrew M and Cisco. It's either USS Rover or USSR... Over. I never quite know.
Or Asarova.
Or Asarovera. Come and join all these people, and more, as well as Dark Splat and Mod and everybody else in the chat room. chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Cisco via the forum. And Cisco is our chat room tonight.
He's on the chat. Will he be here next week with the daylight saving changes? That's the question.
He shall tell us in a few seconds when the stream catches up with him. I was reading through my news crawler when I ran across this. I wanted to see what you thought of this. Personally, I am with the "what were they thinking" crowd. Uh-huh. And he's put a link there to a Fox News article, which I know Lena read and commented on. Mm-hmm. The Fox News headline reads, "Video games capture the babe mode has players slapping women." A new video game that requires you to abduct women and give them a reassuring slap if they freak out has gamers and women's rights groups crying foul. Brace yourself for the awfully sexist world of Duke Nukem Forever.
Yep.
What's going on,
it's
Lena?
A slap on the butt, not the face.
The last
apparently that means very different things.
Look, the last time I played Duke Nukem must have been the very first Duke Nukem back in the early 90s.
Yep.
And there was a guy that used to run around like an arcade-style game. You blow up barrels, you shoot things.
It looked a bit like Commander Keen.
It did look like Commander Keen, which I used to play as well. Where did all this sexist stuff come from?
I think when it came out in 3D, he started to become a bit of a caricature of the macho superheroes and everything, and then sexism just sort of grew organically from that. And, they seem to be running with it, even though it's 2011.
Wasn't there an overtly anti-gay, or there was something to do with gay people that made its way onto iTunes last week? Or the week
the
before?
Gay
we
Cure
talked about
app.
That, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's rubbish.
Yeah, and then
I think Apple's pulled it. Have they?
Anyway.
I think they have.
There's a lot of politically incorrect, is my point, out there at the moment in respect to gaming and things like that, and not to mention the odd app.
Yeah, definitely. But it's instead of capture the flag mode, they're doing it with instead of a briefcase or, you know, an actual flag or stealing something from the other team, it's a woman and she freaks out when you abduct her and you have to slap her on the butt to tell her everything's going to be all right because she gets a bit hysterical.
Is there a visual with this or is it? Have you seen it?
It's very visual. I've seen some of the frame grabs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought, when did Duke Nukem degenerate into this sort of nonsense?
Oh, a long time ago.
Did it?
Long
Is it a bit like Leisure Suit Larry? Remember that game?
Yeah.
It's worse. It's
oh, really?
100
Way
times
worse.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cisco's also started a new blog, which he says is called Thinking About It Too Much. .blogspot.com.
So that's good, that's
go, it is. Go and have a look at Cisco's new blog. Thanks for the feedback, Cisco, and for pointing us in the right direction there. And USS in the in the chat room says it's USS Rover.
Oh, good.
Nothing to do with
is it a battleship or
former
something?
Communist Russia. Oh, it might be.
Communist.
Communist.
They're in a bank here
now, don't
they?
Before you move on, since we mentioned it, we may as well confirm that Apple did in fact pull that application.
Yeah, I thought so.
It wasn't actually called Gay Cure, but it was the Exodus International application, I think it was.
Oh, those weirdies.
Which is an organisation that, is dedicated to helping people overcome their gayness.
Not that we're homophobic here or anything like that.
Well, no.
It's just telling you what's happening.
If you look at their website, it is absolute crud and nonsense. It really is.
That's not a surprise.
If you think really hard,
you can change your hair colour.
Apple has removed that app, so following a huge amount of pressure.
Mm.
So, that's the result of that from last week.
Mm. Andrew, via email, says... Well, was it you? I don't think it was you. Might be another Andrew. Hey, guys. Hi, Andrew.
One of him's enough.
I've been listening to the show for a few years. Keep up the good work. I was just listening to the podcast and heard that Gareth just won a Bluetooth headset for suggesting TuneIn Radio. He did, Andrew. I tweeted this app to you as well, and I wholeheartedly agree how good it is. Because I came so close, I thought I'd have another go at winning the headset. Here's another one. See, Andrew, the problem that you had was you tweeted it to us. After this, Andrew specifically said, don't tweet us apps. Use the special
and
form.
And the reason... He might have tweeted it before Andrew actually said that, but we did say to use the form, yeah.
The reason why we use the form is because it goes to everybody. It doesn't just come to the Tech Talk tweet thing, so everyone gets to see it and evaluate it.
Yep.
And keep doing it, because we've got two to go. Says he, holding up two fingers.
Yes.
Please do. So Andrew's made it...
There's no webcams.
Yes, Andrew's made another submission, which he's popped through. Andrew, send us your postal details anyway. We'll see if we can find something in the Tech Talk bargain basement.
And someone's going to win another Plantronics headset tonight.
Yeah. Tonight, yes.
Yeah.
Down the back end of the show.
Yeah, we've got any M&Ms left from the OB?
Plenty. And Biros.
Send some of those.
And some Necon Biros, maybe. Send us your details, Andrew. GD via email says, now GD got a bit angry last week.
GD
after
had a real go at me last time after the show.
And he sent his apologies afterwards, but I said to him, no apology necessary, GD. It's all fun and games, and we're all friends at the end of the day.
We're all Teflon-coated here, GD. Just keep throwing it.
And I fully agree with that, by the way.
Time for GC and Lena to eat humble pie.
I refuse.
I refuse to eat humble pie.
GD and I are going to have to respectfully disagree with each other over this, because I'm not changing my point of view. Go on.
After listening to last week's Tech Talk Radio and the rubbish about nuclear energy being really safe, almost like, quote, fallout was good for you, unquote.
No one ever said that.
Oh,
no,
wait, we wait never for said it. That.
Actual, in brackets, actual quotes from the film IF Stones Weekly on what the AEC was really about. Here is today's ABC News report. This poison is rendering large areas uninhabitable, including the sea. And GD put a link there to an ABC News article, the title of which was Radioactive Food Fears Grow in Japan.
Yep.
But GD then followed up by saying, oh, he's very sorry, he didn't wish to upset us. And I said, no apology required.
No, GD. You didn't upset us, GD. You're quite happy to have a different opinion. I'm just going to say that...
Wrong.
Yeah, sorry.
Wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Lena has her own opinion as well, GD. So.
Now, look...
Respectfully.
With no one is saying that what's happening in Japan is... I mean, we're having a bit of laugh about the email and the disagreement, but I mean, what's happening there at the moment is absolutely horrible. No one's saying that fallout is good for you. No one's saying that the amount of radiation that's being released there is doing anything but a great deal of harm. But what I'm also saying is to keep a sense of perspective.
Yep.
We had how many thousands of people died basically because they lived too near the ocean? What was the tsunami?
We're over 10,000.
The tsunami death toll?
Yeah, over 10 or 20,000 people.
Over 10,000.
10,000, 17,000 missing still.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So that's, I mean, that's a lot of people and a lot of damage, and yet we don't say don't live near the ocean. Mm. You know, we haven't had that, you know, the amount of damage, which is admittedly significant, that's being done by this...
By the earthquake and the tsunami, not the nuclear power.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. That's what's now gone wrong.
But the nuclear power issue is causing a great deal of problem. That's going to, no doubt, there's going to be more deaths. There's going to be more suffering. And that's terrible. No one wants that.
No.
But you've got to look at it in perspective with the other things that are going on. And
there's been a lot of
It's a very human thing to not be able to have that perspective, and we all do it. We all drive cars, despite how insanely dangerous it is and how many people are killed on the road each year.
Mm.
And not to mention those that are injured and have, you know, their lives ruined by even injuries and so on the road. People still smoke, and we still don't ban cigarettes, even though we know the amount of you know, suffering that's caused by those. We have these blind spots. You know, aviation's one of them. Every time a Qantas plane has a safety issue, turns back, no one's injured, no one's hurt, but it's front page news. I mean, that's another blind spot we have, where we tend to blow things completely out of proportion. And nuclear power is one of those areas where we just don't quite have the sense of proportion.
I could put my conspiracy hat on, but I won't. About that. About a lot of people with a lot of money invested in fossil fuels making sure we all have our arms up about nuclear power. But I won't go that far, because that'd be nuts, wouldn't it?
I suspect that might be a small part of it, but I think that there's very real human fears. That, I mean,
yeah.
Radiation is a frightening thing to deal with.
Yeah.
It's a very intense... Excuse me, very intangible thing, which is why
that's
people,
the problem,
there's so much misunderstanding and apprehension about it.
Right. Nuclear power equals atomic bomb, but it doesn't. They're very different things. They're not the same thing, and everyone seems to think it's exactly the same thing.
I guess the bottom line out of what's going to come out of Japan is that certainly nuclear power is a clean energy, but potentially where that clean energy is generated, i.e. not on one of the world's most active fault lines, is probably a little bit more up there for thinking. But anyway, this is what the world's coming to. Dr. Ron?
GJMCN via email. Now, GJ is a regular contributor.
He is.
We value his feedback every week. Again, he sent us a lengthy contribution, and I've just taken a section out of it which is relevant to what we're talking about now. GJ says, I do not think that deaths per kilowatt hours is the right measure for several reasons. I couldn't find the link to the source you referred to, so I cannot address its methodology or timeframes or credibility. GJ, it's fair enough. I think I sent you a copy of the link, and I've updated the show notes, so there's a link there. Not wishing to defend coal-fired power, but you need to factor in concentration data in the fatality statistics. As your show was airing, Four Corners was having its own nuclear debate, and one statistic stuck with me even before I heard your podcast. Let me quote this here. Plutonium is highly radiotoxic. A speck of plutonium inhaled into the human lung is very likely to cause fatal lung cancer 18 or 20 years down the line, and it's a radioactive pollutant in our environment for tens of thousands of years. And GJ's said that's from a Four Corners transcript of that episode. So what he's saying is that we're talking about deaths per kilowatt hours, but the actual death toll is not going to be known for many, many years to come. He goes on to say, in nuclear, as with coal, it is the build-up that kills, but nuclear kills, maims, deforms far more quickly. I'm all for nuclear if it is safe, if it's cost-effective, but not because it enables us to jump from one train hurtling out of control onto another that's also out of control, but just not up to the same speed yet. Finally, if we build them, we'll be locked into using them when it is clear that even if a part of the money is spent on ramping up or locating viable alternatives, the results for all could be better, but the nuclear lobby wouldn't get their money. So, conspiracy,
yeah.
Lena.
Tinfoil hat.
I think we should put this debate on the forum. That's exactly what the forum's designed for. I might copy and paste some of these emails we've got from GD and from GJ and other contributors. Pop it there and you can all have your say.
Sounds like a good idea.
You can all read everybody's comments.
Yes.
At forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
That's where it is, and that's the correspondence, Andrew. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions this week. Feedback@techtalkradio.com.au is the email address.
around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
Well, lots has happened during the course of the week.
Panel member Mark Diggins joins us in the chat.
Oh, there he is. He's a Diablo fan. How about that? Browsers are front and centre at the moment. Looks like everybody's got a new browser at the moment.
A couple of new ones came out in
Firefox
the last couple of weeks.
Firefox 4 I downloaded during the course of the week, and I've run it up, and
It's a kind of a Chrome with square corners. Yep.
Yeah, it is. That's a very good way of putting it, Graham. Chrome with square corners. It didn't take long to download. It preserved everything as you would expect.
Yep.
And it didn't really load that much faster. And the web browsing hasn't really altered much for me. Have you noticed anything different? And have you loaded it up yet, Graham?
I've loaded it up. I've had a quick play with it. I haven't used it in day-to-day use because I like my Chrome. But it seemed like a fast, solid, reasonably good browser in the tradition of Firefox.
Yes. It looks good.
It looks good.
They've moved things around. It took me a while to find a few things, but I eventually did manage to get there. The plugin compatibility, if you use plugins, I think it did reasonably well for me. It was probably one or two out of about a dozen or so that I use on Firefox, but that could also have slowed down my launch times and things like that too. So, Dr. Ron, have you gone down that path yet?
I haven't, no. The last time I used Firefox was on Ubuntu, I think. I don't think I've used Firefox on a Windows machine for a long time.
Chrome boy.
Looks just the same.
Looks the same, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I might have a look at it for interest's sake, but I'm very happy with Chrome. And there were some sites that didn't work for me in Chrome, and I was using the IE9 beta.
Oh, really? And they worked in that for you as well?
Yeah, and they worked in IE9 for me. So I think a lot of people...
I had some sites that wouldn't work in IE9. I had to go back to IE8 to make them work.
Was that with the beta?
That was with the beta, before pre-release, yeah.
Look, from what I've seen of IE9, I think a lot of people are going to be very happy to load it up and to use it. They're going to find it very useful and very functional.
I was, before I came on air, I was having a bit of a snoop around on one of the CNET sites. There's a very interesting blog, the download blog to be precise, which benchmarks the differences between Chrome, IE and Firefox, which are predominantly the main browsers of the world. Sorry, Lena, your operating system doesn't quite gain a mention here, but
that's
nonetheless.
Fine.
So if you're interested in seeing how this is panning out, go and Google that and have a bit of a look. But they've got some fairly interesting statistics there comparing load times and things like that with the three browsers. And things will surprise you.
Yeah. I did download IE9, the final version as well, and it was impressive too. It had a lot of the features that were missing in IE8 and some of the ability to drag tabs around in and out of windows and reorder them and all that sort of stuff is all there, as you'd hope. Matching a lot of the stuff that Chrome's already done, but again, it felt fast. For Internet Explorer, to me, it felt rather fast, so I was impressed by that as well. There's been some interesting press around, and I think there might have been a reference to it in the news, about Firefox beating IE9 in the download numbers.
Yeah.
Was that in the tease? I can't remember. It was somewhere at the front of the show.
No. There was a couple of articles about that, yes.
One thing to bear in mind with those numbers is I think IE9's only available for Windows 7, is that right?
No, IE9 works on all Windows platforms, but it's best used. It really works
more targeted to Windows 7. It might be a little bit unfair because all Firefox users will be tending to upgrade Firefox, whereas the Windows 7 users might be more likely to upgrade IE than the Windows XP users.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really going to be a tussle between not so much IE, but Firefox and Chrome in respect to the most downloaded browsers. Because you've got to bear in mind, too, that some of these, obviously, does Firefox port all right across onto the Mac platform? I've never seen it. Yeah, it works well?
I think so.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what comes of that. But just looking at the getfirefox.com site, so far they've downloaded 37.7 million files or installers or whatever it is that you download there.
Installers, yeah. The version
since,
that I used
since
on...
last week in about a week, which is good.
The version I used on Linux platforms always worked well too. Going back 12 months, 18 months ago, it was always very stable, very reliable.
Oh, very good. Well, according to Mozilla, the update should provide faster browsing, improved privacy, and better synchronization between computers. I'm finding that's to be quite important these days. The browser of choice tends to need to have synchronization so that one bookmark on one machine seamlessly and automatically replicates to other machines on your network.
About time. That was always really annoying.
Xmarks was around for ages for Firefox, but I think now Firefox has that built in, or through another plugin, a third-party plugin, which lets you do that. And, of course, Chrome does that. Chrome does that very well, actually, and IE doesn't. Well, not that I know of. So, not that I've found.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so there you go. Firefox 4. What else do they say that's anything here? Mozilla claims Firefox is up to 6 times faster than the previous release, with developer promising improved startup and page load times, plus hardware-accelerated graphics, which is what IE9's really all behind these days, the new hard- using, utilizing the hardware in the computer to do a lot of the screen drawing and stuff like that. Makes it a lot faster. Good for video, good for HTML5, and some Java apps, I guess.
If you want to download the new Firefox web browser, just in your... whatever web browser it is you're using at the moment, type getfirefox.com and you'll get redirected to a download page. There's a nice, easy to read, easy to follow site there. Click on Firefox 4 free download and you're off and running.
And if you're after the IE9 update, if you want to try the new version of Internet Explorer, hit Windows Update.
Oh, it comes through there, does it? I thought you had to go to beautyofthewebb.com.
Press Alt F4.
Press Alt F4.
Alt F4. she's outnumbered tonight. It's 1-3.
Yeah, she's going for the cheap shots tonight.
For those not in the know, Alt F4 is the keyboard shortcut to close the window.
What happens if you're Alt F4 on a Mac?
No, Alt
Nothing key. Is, well, there is an Alt key. It's called Option. And the Command Q would be the equivalent.
Command Q.
Command Q for quit. Q.
What happens if you go Control...
Doesn't Q work for British MI5?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, Command Q.
Command Q. Tell her what to do.
Send out 007 to fix it for you.
Yeah.
There.
Command W to close the window. Command Q to quit the whole program.
Control Open Apple Reset.
That's a good one, isn't it?
It's a good one.
Mm. Before she shrugs her shoulders and goes, yeah. In other news, during the course of the week, if you are living outside of New South Wales, then chances are you've probably been completely oblivious to the fact that they've had a change of government.
They've got a new
there.
Government, don't they? Well, did catch up with that.
They did. They did. The where is Keneally from originally? Her accent is very hard to pick from me, from my point of view, but you guys might know
she's
that.
She's from the States, isn't she?
She Canadian? I don't know whether she's from the States.
I'll have a look.
So I've never really sort of had a look down from where she originates from. But nonetheless, the biggest landslide in the history of politics occurred on the weekend, with a massive swing towards the Liberal government up there in New South Wales. So that was a big change for everybody. 16 years in power they had, the old Labor Party up there. So probably
she was born in Las Vegas.
Was she? That explains a lot.
To an American father and Australian-born mother.
Which casino? probably the Luxor. No,
she lived
wouldn't
briefly
have been
in
there.
Colorado, but grew up in Toledo, Ohio. That's why you're having trouble spotting her accent, because she's been around America
a little
bit.
She gets around
a
little bit.
And then she came to Australia.
Anyway, the reason why I'm talking about the election is because the Electoral Office of New South Wales did a little bit of electronic voting. They're trying it out. Originally, it was supposed to be for people who were visually impaired or physically couldn't get out or they're away or whatever it was like that. But it was inundated, actually, by people who were living abroad, expats and those who had to vote. it expected roughly, it being the New South Wales Electoral Commission, expected around about 10,000 votes. But they actually got 47,000 votes using the electronic. And then the funny thing about this is where I've... Technology, Dr. Ron, you'll be able to relate well with this because of what you do, is that...
Well, I do.
Because you spend a lot of time by the photocopier, a little bit, he tells me.
True, that's true, yep.
And anyway, what happened here with the Electoral Commission in New South Wales, what happened was the votes were printed out and then couriered across to the tally room where they were counted on a piece of paper.
Fantastic.
Isn't that great?
The electronic votes were printed out and they were couriered and they were counted manually.
Yeah, they were counted in with the paper
votes. Sounds exactly like where I work. Yes, we... Well, you hand type forms on a computer, print them out, fax them, shred them, and the people at the other end get them, type in what's on the forms again.
Mm.
Yes.
Good, huh? The National Broadband Network also has been a little bit in the news of late with...
Yeah, it has. There's been lots of stuff flying around the upper house and the lower house and... Back to the upper house and back to the lower house.
Well, there's been concerns, really, over a few things. One is the ability for the National Broadband Network to actually sell different types of technology at different rates. And this is for the entry level, you know, the $50 a month version. So I think the other telcos, the other people associated with the NBN wanted it to be fixed price right across all delivery platforms, which makes sense in a little bit of... in a good way, I guess, because whether you're out in the sticks and you're getting a satellite feed or whether you're in getting it off a glass or whatever it is like that, it's still going to sort of cost you around about the same. And also means that well, one of the other interesting things too, I should say, is that because Telstra is traditionally, you know, got the biggest infrastructure, they have, you know, how should you say, in confidence information, which they probably wouldn't want others to know about. And this has been a bit of a concern. But anyway, yeah, up and down between the house. And Mr. Conroy's had a bit of interesting time, question time. Did you mention in the news? I think it all happened on Friday, didn't
it,
Doctor?
Yeah, it happened late on Friday night. I spoke about two pieces of legislation were passed by the Senate, and they were passed back this week. Or today, I think they were passed back today to the lower house for discussion. There were a lot of amendments there that they were trying to get through. Have you ever heard of a more confusingly named piece of legislation in your life?
Oh, but if
even as far as barristers and solicitors go.
What was it called?
I'm going to take a deep breath here. It took me about 8 attempts to do this when I read the news. The Telecommunications Legislation Amendments National Broadband Network Measures Access Arrangements Bill. That just clears it up for everybody, doesn't it? Just in case you weren't a little bit confused
see,
already.
See, after about the fourth word, you've lost interest, haven't you? You've glazed over.
Your eyes face.
I went and grabbed a drink halfway through that and came back.
You just completely lose the will to die, don't you, halfway through reading that. The first piece of legislation is a little bit better. The National Broadband Network Companies Bill 2010. So both were passed by the Senate on Friday with a number of amendments. Some got through and some didn't.
Paul O'Sullivan is the CEO of number two character, Optus.
Yes.
This is what he had to say.
Well, we're going to have under NBNCo a government-owned company which is going to own the only fixed network which supplies services to 93% of Australian homes. Sounds familiar? That's what we used to have with Telstra. This time around, we've wanted to work with the government to make sure that there are the necessary safeguards and checks and balances to prevent the sort of monopolistic behaviour we saw with Telstra. This bill is very important because with the right amendments, it can achieve that. But if we don't get the right amendments, then we will take a step backwards.
So, did we get that is probably the question. Obviously, his concerns are really the monopolistic attitude from the incumbent, Telstra. So, Dr. Ron, anything? Because I think something happened today, too. I haven't quite caught up with it. It all got through, didn't it? Basically unchallenged, if I recall.
Yeah, I believe so. I saw a tweet from you saying that the opposition failed.
And yeah.
Well, everything got through.
See, the thing is, it's coming at many different angles. There's a political angle and there's also a commercial angle. And once again, Paul O'Sullivan, who is the CEO of Optus, was quite adamant that penalties for the breach of any such, how should one say, infringement of insider trading, I guess, should be dealt with severely. This is what he had to say.
Civil sanctions are not enough because financially it can be worthwhile for someone like Telstra to breach the rules of the game in order to get a market advantage. So we'd like to see some criminal penalties for any executive who willingly chooses to breach the safeguards around competition.
That's them's fighting words. They obviously don't want anyone to have an advantage because his argument is that, well, if it's just a financial advantage, if you get financial gain greater than the penalty, well, then why wouldn't you do it? Which has always been the argument, I guess, with some of the ombudsman's decisions. You know, they get a slap across the wrist or ACMA or whoever it is that's taken them or made them accountable, even the ACCC. You know, they get $1 million fine, and I think we've even laughed and jokingly said on this program, oh, they could make that up in missed calls and diversions to message bank in one day, couldn't they? Mm.
Pretty much. One of the amendments was to veto any ruling that the ACCC made about the NBN. There were a lot of amendments that the government just snuck in at the 11th hour last week.
While no one's watching.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Like, just before everything was discussed on Friday, there were an additional 35 amendments to legislation that didn't get through. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, Andrew, about the ACCC. There was one proposed amendment which would have given NBNCo the power to veto any ruling that the ACCC made in regards to points of interconnect. So if NBNCo said they didn't like it, and the ACCC said, well, too bad, it's in the interest of competition.
It's a monopolistic attitude that Telstra used to have back in the Telecom Australia days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that didn't get through. The ABC was reporting tonight, as of an hour and a half ago, that a set of NBN bills has passed the lower house of parliament after a marathon session in an extra day of sitting. And the amendments passed the Senate on Friday, but when they reached the House of Reps for consideration today, the opposition delayed the debate by arguing against it. But ultimately, the opposition wasn't successful. So what's gone through the Senate on Friday has now gone back through the House.
Yeah, and of course, the opposition has been just running delay tactics. They get the floor, and it's a bit like a tennis game or a cricket game or something where they just sort of like go really slow.
Yeah.
And that's what they've been doing.
They do it all in slow motion.
They do it all out, I think it's time. Can we have a coffee? And we'll come back. And anyway, they drew it out and drew it out. And anyway, the coalition lost its attempt to prevent the debate on the amendment bills because it got through by 3 votes. It came after early attempts to suspend the House of Representatives was defeated by a single vote. Leader of the House of Reps, Anthony Albanese, accused the opposition of filibustering. There's a word. Filibustering.
Filibustering.
Yep. Filibustering because they didn't have their amendments to the bills ready this morning. So, there's another chapter in the book that is otherwise known as the National Broadband Network that may or may not roll out in the next 9 years.
Filibustering's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know him?
No. No? Does. It's not a person. It's a thing. It's something you
tactic.
Do.
It's a tactic.
Is it?
Yes.
Filibustering.
It's an American...
Yep.
Political tactic in I can't remember exactly how it works, but
you keep talking
and prevent the business from going ahead.
Look what we do in here every Monday night.
That's right.
Exactly. Now, so that's what we're filibustering. Anyway, Lena's about to die. It's time for a music break.
A track
of music will fix Lena's cough, and we'll be back with Oddspot Gadget Website of the Week. No, tricking.
Don't say that. I better find some, I suppose.
In about an hour's time.
And all that sort of stuff. So stay with us, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOS as well?
Steve Wozniak, the traitor.
I'm down to 4 cables again, not 14,000.
Go away.
Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
There you are. Hello, everybody. We're back. We're all refreshed now. We've had drinks and coughs all in the one.
Yep.
All in the one break. So, anyway, Graeme, you've done a bit of research during the course of the thing, and I need to stand corrected.
I can confirm. I'm sorry, Andrew. Yes, Internet Explorer 9 is only available for Vista and Windows 7.
What's Vista?
Vista is a sort of a failed operating system that came.
Is that one we don't talk about anymore?
It came in between Windows XP and Windows 7.
I remember that.
Those people that went there regretted it.
But
yes,
IE9 does not work on XP.
Won't work on Windows XP.
Yep.
It will work on Vista. It will work on Windows 7. It will work on Windows Server 2008. And it'll work on both the 32 and the 64-bit versions of both of those.
You've got to
get the right one for your operating system. So if you're running Windows 7 64-bit, you download the 64-bit version of IE.
Very good. I'm running 64-bit. I haven't looked back. There's only one application that doesn't work on it, and you know what that is. It's the podcasting software.
Yes, that's right, yes.
It will not load up on a 64-bit machine, not even in 32-bit mode, so I have to toggle between operating systems to do the podcast, but that's
fair
another
enough.
Story.
You're running Windows XP mode?
No.
Not running the virtual machine XP mode thing?
No,
that comes
should I do that?
Windows?
How do I do that?
Maybe. It comes with Windows 7, depending on which version. What version of Windows 7 have you
professional.
Got? Professional
version 64-bit.
XP mode come with professional, or does it only come with ultimate? I'll have to have a look now. Now I've been caught out again.
Oh, ultimate. I've got some Apple gossip too, which I think is really good coming from me. But you might laugh. But I was reading today, as you do when you're in the doctor's surgery, that the new
Doctor Ron's surgery.
That's right, Doctor Ron's
you were
surgery.
Today.
I was reading up on all sorts of things. Slow news day. Anyway, MobileMe, which is the lovely little thing that runs in the back of all your Mac devices and stuff like that. Rumor has it, and I stress at this very point in time, that it is rumor that a new feature called the Locker is going to be added to this service, and it's going to cost around about $20. I don't know whether that's US or whatever. It's probably $15 Australian, $20 US to run. If you do the iTunes conversion, it could be $30 Australian and $20 US. But what it does is, if you download music It actually stores it in this locker for you so that in case things go terribly wrong, you've got it there. You don't have to re-download it. Well, you have to pull it out of the cloud. But nonetheless, what you buy goes into the locker. Good idea. Well done. I like that idea. That's good. Still not going to get one.
Why not just have it without DRM on it so you can back it up yourself?
Yes, we've been down that path before, and it's a valid question. By the way, did you know that Inception, the movie, is now available on Facebook?
Okay. I did not know that. I can't imagine that being of any use to me.
Remember a couple of weeks back that we decided, or we were talking about how Facebook are now going to have movies? Well, Inception's now available on there, amongst a few others, because apparently the trial's going really well. So Warner Brothers have thrown a few more up there.
I have not yet watched a movie on Facebook.
No, I can't see. No, you're right. It just doesn't go.
Not what Facebook.
You're there to interact, not to be entertained.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of that, isn't there?
Not what it's designed for. Warlock loves his iPad too. Hello, Warlock, in the chat room.
Ah, how's the DDoS, the WDOS going?
No more Warlock denial of service attacks this week. Chats.techtalkradio.com.au is where we all are at the moment.
Now, one of my favourite shows re-emerged on the television the other day. Hungry Beast is back on the ABC. And I get a lot out of Hungry Beast because they've quite well-informed guys and gals putting that show together. And they've done a survey, which I think I alluded to in the beginning of the show.
I watched it on catch-up TV last night on iView.
Now, if you have access to iView, which is if you live within Australia, you can go and watch the program. It won before it expired. Probably got a week or so to go. But it's very interesting. Now, they were talking about privacy online and the new privacy online and what it means to people and what it doesn't mean to people. Now, I'm interested in our thoughts of our listeners and the guys here in the panel, but here's some interesting statistics which they talked about in the course of the show. Every week, 23 exabytes of data is added to the web. Graham, your question? Your time starts now. 23 exabytes. How many terabytes is an exabyte?
I'm guessing 1,000.
Yeah, I'm guessing that too. So the bottom line is that that's a hell of a lot of data that's added to the web every week. Now, and that's just ordinary people doing whatever they do during the day, you know, uploading stuff to like photos and movies and blogs and all sorts of things.
I'm sorry, it's another, it's 1,000,000.
1,000,000, like a million.
A million terabytes.
Yeah.
I was right.
Exabytes.
I said that before
you did.
Because we skipped over petabytes in the middle.
Petabyte.
So, yeah. In steps of 1,000. So you go 1, then 1,000 times that is a kilobyte, then 1,000 kilobytes is a megabyte, 1,000 megabytes is a gigabyte. That's where we're up to with our hard disk sizes. The 1,000 times that is a terabyte. We've got some terabyte hard drives around now. 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte, and 1,000 petabytes is an exabyte.
Cool.
Does it get bigger than that?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Size is everything to you, isn't it, Lena?
Who's in charge of naming them? That's what I want to know. Was Peter?
Peter.
Yeah. An exa.
Peter Bite.
Peter Bite. Absolutely. He was hungry at that stage. He went out for a pizza and had a Peter Bite. Mm.
And to answer your question, who's in charge of naming them? The French.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the International System of Units, SI.
Okay. Ooh. Now, back to the statistics. Twitter, which we all like to tweet. There are 50 million tweets every day. YouTube, they claim fame to 24 hours of video uploaded in every minute of the day.
Yeah, Lena's responsible for about 23% of those tweets.
Oh, the tweets, yeah.
I wear that with pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you should too.
I did YouTube, sorry you distracted me. Now, Facebook.
FaceTubes.
Facebook has 200 million photos added every day. And along with those 200 million photos, there's 114 million posts and 127 million comments, which means there's a lot of people around the world that have too much spare time on their hands.
No.
That just means people are socially connected, yeah. Andrew.
It does indeed. You're so right.
If someone's calling a friend on the phone, you don't say they have too much time on their hands.
Really?
No.
Most of my friends do. What are you ringing me? I'm at work for. Others just sort of loitering around, filling in time whilst they're waiting to do things.
Waiting to see Dr. Ron at the surgery.
That's right.
To have
That's where I do my best out. Tweeting from, the surgery there. Yes. You've got a blog called The Surgery, haven't
I
you?
I do.
So, see, it all comes together at the end, doesn't it?
Worlds are colliding. You've got a real Dr. Ron.
Yes,
with a real doctor. With a real surgery.
That's correct, just down the road.
Okay.
Now, anyway, talking about privacy online, the Germans have taken the initiative here, and they've gone and they've given their citizens the option to opt out of Google's Street View. Now, I think they're the only country in the world to do this, but obviously, I think globally, if you faces on a
How do you opt out of having the front of your building being seen from the street?
How do you, it's a very good question. You get pixelated. It'll pixelate the front of the building. You can opt out.
So it looks like the house doesn't have its clothes on.
Yeah, well, it looks like the... yeah, it's not quite that pixelated, but yeah, similar. You know how they do the number plates? It just blurs it all out. And
so why
the faces, they blur it all out. Well, you can, if you go and have a look around Germany, they'll find a lot of buildings are blurred out.
Yeah. So if I take a camera and walk down the street in Germany and take a photograph of the same building, do I have to pixelate it as well?
No, you're not Google and you're not on Street View. It's only on Street View that this occurs.
I believe they've done it with Hitler's bunker.
Have they?
Mm.
Why, didn't he want it up there?
They don't want it up there. They don't want people knowing. It's at like a car yard or something now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no plaques, nothing. They just don't want anyone to know about it. They're like, yep, he's down there. Yep, move along.
Okay, good. Mm. Anyway, there's been some...
I don't see why Google should be any different from anybody else. If I can take a photograph of a building and put it online...
Well, you take it up with the German politicians.
Why can't Google take a picture of a building and put it online?
Because...
If you take it from the street.
Because finding your picture is probably a tad more tricky than finding Google's picture in Street View.
Not at all. I'm world famous Graham Callaghan of Tech Talk Radio. I'll get top results in Google.
We'll move on from that. I can't one up that in any way, shape or form. You win, Graham. anyway, getting back to the Germans, basically what happens is you can opt out of having your building on Facebook. Now, there's some, I think 240,000 people have chosen to have their dwellings opted out.
That's a lot.
Pixelated. And this is starting a new campaign of throwing eggs and and having people run around with big stickers and putting them on the door saying Google is cool. Yes.
That's not nice.
That's right.
That's not nice at all.
So we're now getting... We used to have the digital divide. We're now seeing the Google divide here for those that like having their life portrayed to all and sundry on the street and those who choose not to.
And people who are pro-privacy.
Yeah. Now, Australians are fairly big. We're a very connected country over here, if you hadn't heard already. And the survey which the guys did, this was a McNair survey, which was commissioned on behalf of... the Hungry Beast guys, they did a survey of 1,046 adults in Australia. Now, the sample size wasn't all that big, but certainly it gave a fairly good indicative size of where things are. And a lot of us are very social. In fact, nearly all of us are very social. There's very few of us who aren't.
Some more than others.
On some... Yes, yeah, some... Yes, yes. Yeah, no argument there.
Who are you talking about?
But the bottom line of the survey is that Facebook is still probably the predominant social method of interacting around Australia, around the world. Everyone uses Facebook. So Mr. Zuckerberg
Absolute
has certainly
nonsense.
Got his things
going
together.
Out to dinner with your mates is the predominant method of being social.
Correct.
No, it's
but
not.
It's traditionally organised on Facebook to go out to dinner with your mates.
But none of us have got time to go out to dinner anymore.
Exactly.
Too busy
Facebooking.
Facebook statuses that say, wish I could go out to dinner to eat something, but can't.
Is that why no one will come out to dinner with me?
Lol.
I wondered why.
We don't eat. We have tablets.
Oh, by the way, did you know that they're going to actually merge Facebook, YouTube and Twitter together?
No, please don't.
They are. They're going to call it U-Twitface.
U-Twitface.
You've been
Andrew,
sitting on that one for a while, haven't you?
Andrew, you've been waiting to use
that. How long have you been working on that?
I can't. That was a caller on ABC Radio last week. I'm sorry. That got us all a bit of a laugh. Facebook's the biggest. YouTube. People spend a lot of time uploading and watching and using and looking at things on YouTube.
Wilfing.
In fact, 35% of the respondents did YouTube. And Twitter's down. I thought Twitter would be more than this. Around 17% of currently connected internet users are using Twitter.
But you how do you define using it? Reading it? Contributing to it?
Sending a tweet,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, see?
Sending
so many more people would be just reading and not sending anything.
The thing I was trying to get across on the radio the other day when we were talking about it is that with Twitter and social networking, it's not so much contributing to it, it's how you consume
the information. Yeah, and everyone's got a different way of doing it.
And that's it. Peter Gers, who was on the radio the other day, he was saying, oh, he likes to read a book. He likes a newspaper. He likes something tangible that he can hold and flip. And I said, well, have you looked at the new stuff that's out of it? I think you put me on a great app for the iPad.
Flipbook
for choosing the Twitter feeds, the Facebook feeds that you want. And every morning you log on and voila, there is the goings on from the previous day and the day before that and the day before that. The more you flick, the further back in time you go.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's a terrific way of consuming information that you want. The argument goes that, well, isn't there so much rubbish out there in Twitter land and Facebook land? Well, yeah, there is. But it's like anything. If you sift it and consume it in the manner that you want it to be sifted and consumed in, it can be a very valuable resource.
It's a lot of rubbish in newspapers and on television as well.
Exactly. All the ads and all the stuff you wade through.
Yeah. And not to mention the programs.
There's even some rubbish spoken on TikTok radio.
There is.
What?
You've just got to...
No, we're not immune from it here.
No. It's got to wade through everything and make a value choice yourself, don't you?
Mm. Yep.
Now, there's a new market forming. There's a lot of upstart companies that are actually specialising in removing you from the internet. Will this be the next big thing?
Don't laugh, Graham. It's a very serious problem.
Well, everything goes in cycles, doesn't it? Flares, skinny jeans, that kind of thing. It goes opposites. So we're seriously overwhelmed with how social we are online now. Surely the next step's going to be people living in the bush with no power again. Like, it's going to go in a flip side again. Not everyone, but a lot of, you know, a swing.
Well, there's certain Asian countries that are working on that.
Mm.
People going off the grid.
Yep.
Off the
grid.
Be
a whole industry in removing your... There was a Big Bang Theory episode about that. Sheldon was trying to remove his digital presence because he didn't want his girl / friend finding him.
Right.
Yeah, but see, this is also becoming a real...
I don't think I'm up to that yet.
This is
sorry.
A real spoilers. I work with a young person, Brian, as we all know. His social life and his... out of hours life is dominated by what goes on in Facebook to the point where he now no longer likes posting anything on Facebook because, you know, I think as you said before, Lena, or someone said here in the studio, it's always a shock when you get tagged, which is, and the tagging on Facebook is where you've appeared in a photograph and someone's put a square around your head and said, that's Dr. Ron, or that's Lena, or that's Andrew. That's tagging.
Sends a shiver down my spine.
Where did that come from?
You get an email notification that says you've been tagged in a photo on Facebook and you go, oh, God.
So you can tag photos, but you can also check into locations. You can just tag people by their name. You don't actually have to take a photo.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. I don't like that. I've turned that off.
I'm relatively new to Facebook. I'm a newbie of Facebook.
I don't like Foursquare and all the location-based
stuff. No, that's scary stuff.
I logged into Facebook once.
Who was? Sorry, what? You were?
I logged into Facebook once.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you logged in once.
Foursquare's not popular in Australia, according to the survey, 1%.
Good.
Somebody sent me a sheep. I haven't logged in since.
Oh, did you poke them back?
No.
Every time I log on, I've got pokes from Andrew.
Oh.
And you poke back me. And I poke back.
Did you lucky?
Did you know on Facebook?
Get married already.
Oh, something to do.
Yeah, been there, done that. But it keeps us busy, though, doesn't it, during the day?
Your beloved tried to get me involved in a game today. I just ignored that.
What did she send you? An invitation?
An invitation to play Monopoly or something on Facebook. I said, come on, I haven't got enough time to tweet, let alone to sit down and do Facebook.
You make time,
play game.
Friend.
No.
She threw a sheep at Graham and now he won't talk to her.
What's the song? I clicked a cow and I liked it.
I clicked the cow. That's right.
Is that what it's called? Anyway. So, my question to you is...
Ask us a question.
What happens if you cut yourself off from social networking?
Nothing. You're still out there.
You have to try harder to catch up with your mates.
Is that really the only thing? What about job applications? What about...
No, all the stuff that you put on there when you were younger and sillier is still out there. Just ask the certain St Kilda footballers.
Well, yes, that's a very valid point. This is where this
these
new
things don't go away.
But see, this
Once
is
there,
where these
there.
New startup companies are going to do really well if they can get rid of all that stuff online. Now, even the EU, the European Union, is trying to legislate through their political system the right for a citizen to be removed from the internet, and all companies that are governed by EU law should be able to say, "Yes, we'll take you off."
Makes
it's
sense.
All right. The other option is we're all going to have really good 21st birthday presents from now on. Once again, the Hungry Beast guy suggested, well, for your 21st birthday, just get a new identity. Be reborn. Dr. Ron, you'll be Dr. Phil.
No, I don't want to be Dr. Phil.
I don't want him to be Dr. Phil either.
I'm happy being Dr. Ron for now.
So, but yeah, that's where it's all leading to. This is where this social networking /
imagine what politics is going to be like in the next 40 years.
No? Really? Why? What would it be
every
like?
Every single politician, there's going to be a photo somewhere of them young on the internet drinking and being stupid or
going to a knock shop or something. Like, was it Phil? Kev did that, didn't he?
Yeah,
in New York.
Like, not a knock shop.
I heard it was something. Anyway, it surfaced the other day.
It was something.
It was something.
It was a
strip club.
A strip club
type venue. Poly thing.
a gentleman's club.
Yeah. Which you do when you're young and especially when you're traveling.
Do you?
And drunk.
Well, you get up there and sing Bohemian Rhapsody at karaoke bars in Las Vegas and stuff like that.
I've never done that, so now I know you're not talking about me.
Haven't you? Goodness. No, quite right. that's why he's also scared about Facebook. Videos like that get up there. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, people with political aspirations and whatnot, it'll be very interesting to see how it all eventuates.
Indeed.
Yes, they'll have to make up their mind when they're six that they're going to want to be a
squeaky
politician.
Clean.
Will their public image matter to them later in life, or will it not matter
exactly?
Probably not, actually, for all in the same boat. No one's going to care. Everyone's going to go, yep, I got 12 of those pictures.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. All right, Tech Talk Radio is the show that you're listening to. Andrew, Dr. Ron, Dr. Graham, Lena is in this evening. So if you'd like to participate in any of our conversations and you're listening to us live, come along, chat.techtalkradio.com.au is the place to do it whilst we're on the radio and or on the net, for that matter, if you're listening to us live streaming. But the forum, all manner of information and places to come and talk about nuclear energy and all things like that will be up there on the forum as well. Dr. Ron, lady, gentlemen, radio. Do you listen to the radio much?
Lots, when I'm driving in the car.
Would you listen to the radio more than you listen to the television? Watch the television.
Yes, almost certainly. And I channel surf on the radio. Am I alone in doing that, or do other people channel surf as well? As soon as I hear an ad, I get stabby, punch, change channels.
Yeah, and I tend to end up on...
There's an ad on that station too, bang. Change channels.
Yeah, I tend to end up on stations that don't have ads and stay there.
But when a station promo comes on, I'm the same. Bang, start again, back to the start of the dial. I get up to preset 6 and I go back to number 1.
So what happens?
I just keep stabbing until I get programmed.
That'd be infuriating to be in the car with you.
I don't care if I suddenly... It is, that's why no one drives with me anymore. Yeah. I don't care if I suddenly hit the middle of a program and I've got no idea what's being talked about. I just cannot bear to listen to commercials on radio.
Are you a talkback listener or a music listener? Or a bit of both?
I'm a bit of both. Depends on the time of day. In the morning, I cannot cope with music. I have to have talkback.
Yeah, you've got to digest news in the morning, don't you? In the afternoon,
it's music can go on.
Music,
that's all right.
It's a yeah. What do you listen to? No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Anyway,
I can if you want me to.
No. I don't want to know. We've heard your music programming.
Oh, hello. Righto, the gloves are off now.
Anyway, digital radio has made a bit of a leg in Australia at the moment.
Yes.
We're seeing a wide variety of music that even Dr. Ron would listen to.
I used my digital radio the other day.
Did you?
For real purposes where I really needed the digital radio because the program I had wasn't on analog radio.
What was it? Cricket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you get us going a minute.
The ABC had two grandstand channels on as well as their normal 774 stream. So I think 774 Melbourne was taking the football. So the normal 774 program was only on digital on the normal 774 channel.
Yep.
And they had a Grandstand 2 channel, which was taking the BBC's Test Match Special for the, oddly enough, wasn't a Test Match, was one of the World Cup quarterfinals.
This is amazing what they do these days.
And, yeah, sat there listening to the BBC's coverage of the quarterfinal, which Australia lost in the cricket.
Mm.
Doing the old thing of watching it on the TV and listening to the radio.
But you could have gone to the internet and listened to it, couldn't you? Does digital radio find its way onto the internet?
Not all of those channels, I don't think. Maybe. I'm not sure. Because the ABC, I don't think, were broadcasting that stream on the internet. And the BBC version of the BBC were streaming the same thing, but it was geo-locked to the UK.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. All right. Adam Turner, our regular correspondent, writer, extraordinaire, person with a...
Fan of pink cupcakes.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He is. Mac boy?
No.
Fanboy?
No, he's not.
No?
No.
Oh, he was in the queue for his iPad. I saw his tweets.
Was he?
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Ron concurs.
That doesn't make you a fanboy, though.
He's nodding.
I'm nodding.
But he is.
Does that just an excuse?
Just makes you an iPad 2 owner.
Okay. Anyway.
Adam's going to start punching people if you call him an Apple fanboy.
Yeah, he will.
There's a lot of anger in here tonight.
I'd like to apologise for that.
We'll just stand in a circle and punch the person to our left.
Oh, dear. It's time for View from the Couch.
Now, anyway, here it is. Stop hitting me.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
Listening to the radio has always been a low-tech love affair, but today the internet can deliver a world of radio stations to your door. It's more than 85 years since the birth of Australian radio. Introduced in the Bradman era, radio reached across a nation to overcome the tyranny of distance. Even today, the cracking sound of leather on willow drifting across a neighbour's fence on a lazy afternoon is the definitive sound of summer for many Australians. There was a time when you could count the number of Melbourne radio stations on one hand. Household names such as 3AK, 3AR, 3DB, 3LO, 3UZ. Call signs that have since been through several incarnations or merely lost in the sands of time. The birth of rock and roll, the rise of FM broadcasting, and the spread of multiculturalism saw radio blossom with dozens of stations up and down the dial. But listening to the radio has remained a delightfully simple and cheap pastime in a world of high-tech gadgets. Finally, the digital revolution that swept across our television screens is coming to radio, enticing Australians to spend their money on fancy new digital radios. Like digital TV, digital radio still uses the airwaves but offers better sound and more stations with new interactive features. But one of the country's oldest communications technologies faces a growing threat from one of the newest, the internet. Digital radio got off to a shaky start in Australia. After several false starts, DAB Plus digital radio broadcasts weren't officially launched until mid-2009. According to the latest industry report, digital radio take-up is neck and neck with internet radio in Australia. After almost 2 years, it seems only 5.6% of metropolitan Australians have upgraded to digital radio. It's not exactly a flying start, although digital television was slow to take off as well. While a looming analogue cut-off date has seen digital take-up accelerate, there's no such urgency for making the move to digital radio. The latest report makes it clear that the average digital radio listener spends twice as long listening each week as internet radio listeners do, 11 hours as opposed to 5.5 hours. So it sounds like digital radio is leaving the internet for dead until you look at the take-up figures. It seems that 6% of metropolitan Australians listen to internet radio stations, putting the take-up slightly ahead of digital radio's 5.6%. Compared to last year's figures, digital radio has grown slightly faster. It's increased its share by 51%, while internet radio increased its share by 43%. So they're both growing pretty quickly. Going by these figures, I think it's fair to say that digital radio and internet radio are currently neck and neck in Australia. If they continue to grow at this rate, internet radio will end up with a significant market share. If terrestrial radio in general has a strong future, then we'd expect digital take-up to accelerate, stealing listeners from analogue, while internet radio take-up flattens out. If internet radio can continue to match the growth of digital radio in next year's industry report, then I'd say terrestrial radio could be in trouble in the long run, especially as older listeners die off and are replaced by young ones who grew up with the internet at hand. The internet won't kill off radio, but as with the rise of television, radio might be forced to change with the times.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm going to jump in there. Firstly, I'm going to say Adam's not a fanboy. That was just fun and games. Secondly, I'm going to say that analog radio is not going to disappear off in a long term because it's an essential service in Australia, especially in our fire-prone areas where AM radio gets into places where nothing else will.
ABC is our emergency services broadcaster, isn't it?
They are. They are. They play a major role all sorts of things like that. So, but anyway, there you go, Dr. Ron.
For the benefit of the other panellists that don't know and
Mr.
for
Kite.
Our Tech Talk listeners, did you know that Dr. Graham here built his own digital radio?
Did he
what?
Really? That's very courageous of you.
With a paperclip and a rubber band.
Paperclip, rubber band, soldering iron, a dozen Tic Tacs.
I cheated a little bit. I bought a kit.
Did you?
You did a very good job. You bought a little keyboard. Electronic components.
What did you get from JCar or something like that?
Capacitors, transistors, a little black box chip that said DAB Plus receiver.
Fantastic.
Yeah, all
comes
the
in on IC, does it?
Yeah, all the RF stuff was all packaged away in a pre-built module. Yeah, and so
So you just plug a speaker power in and away you go. Is
yeah,
that really
pretty
how
much. Yeah, it was very straightforward.
Black box technology. It's great, isn't it?
He's a smart cookie, our Dr. Graham.
Yeah, oh, it's good. You can go and build your own DAB receiver.
The worst thing was I sat down at 5:30 to build it one afternoon and found myself at 8:00 the following morning listening to the ABC News on it, having worked all the way through to finish it.
You thought, I'll just do, but just put this bit on. The project was supposed to last you probably a couple of weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll just do half an hour here and half an hour there.
I couldn't resist it every stage. How does that bit fit on? Oh, you do that. Oh, I'd better put that on. How does that bit fit on? Oh, yeah.
All jokes aside, well done, Graham. Getting the soldering out, I haven't got my soldering iron out for ages apart from fixing up an audio plug or something like that. That's
one of the reasons I wanted to do it, even though it was a fairly expensive way to get a digital radio. It's a fairly nice receiver I've now got, and yeah, I got a chance to get my soldering iron out and practice my soldering. So.
Well done. Anyway, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio, and it's this time of the night.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
What have you got for us this week, Miss Woman in Green?
I'm not a leprechaun now. I'm
all right,
talking
you can be
about
whatever you like.
Digital distribution of games.
Oh, yeah.
So not going to a shop, just downloading instead, legitimately, of
Isn't
course.
That what people do? They just download?
Like on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've bought games like that over my PS3.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, there's also a way you can do it for your PC or your Mac, and it's through a program called Steam.
Oh, Peter Gabriel.
You can find at at steampowered.com.
So you download the game. You download the app.
Yep. It's
like a shopping portal-y centery
thing. Yeah, it is. And it's a chat portal as well. You can add all your friends on the side and see what they're playing.
Oh.
And it's very social. It's very, very social. And it's easy for matchmaking, for playing the same game together, getting your friends list and everything all together. And
does it use torrents or anything like that, the new technology?
They've got servers set up all over the world. Steam,
oh, okay, so you find a node and you download.
Yeah, and
you
some of them, the 3FL servers are in the free zone for iiNet. I know that one. And there's a few servers that are available in the free zone for different ISPs.
Free zone being a non-metered download. So you can pull down really big things and not get charged for it.
Big games. Yeah. So it's really good. It can be helpful when you've only got a small amount of internet to go around.
And how do you pay, Lena? Is it credit card or PayPal or a bit of everything?
I think it's a bit of everything. There's definitely credit card support. I think you can also buy gift cards.
That's good.
So a parent can buy the child a certain amount of money to use on there.
So how does this go with classifications and games and things like that? Because obviously if they're an international company, which I suspect they are, that distributes these games, do they have any sort of blocking and stuff on
there's
like geo-blocking?
Yeah, yep. There's geo-blocking and you need, because it's all accessed from local servers. So that's how it geo-blocks.
So servers here in Australia or...
Yep, and Asia and all around this. They're everywhere.
So they probably look at your IP address that you're buying from and route you to the appropriate market.
Yep. Yeah. So, for example, when Left 4 Dead 2 came out, that was refused classification here. There was a censored version released in Australia, but that everyone wanted the uncensored version, of course, and you could get that gifted to you via Steam from someone who was not on an Australian Steam account.
Okay.
But it's a fantastic little portal where you can buy a whole bunch of games, almost everything you can buy in the shops, almost everything. But it's not as flooded as the Apple App Store. So there's not so much little junky stuff. It's more the big titles, the actual like AAA title games. There's a few indie things in there, but it's quite hard for indies to get their games on Steam. Yeah.
So if we're accessing this website, steampowered.com, from a PC or a Mac, is it only for games that we can then play on the PC or the Mac?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, for now. Soon they're implementing PlayStation 3 compatibility in there with it.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll start getting some cross-platform multiplayer going on.
Cool.
Which is sort of the holy grail. It's been very elusive in the past.
It's a fairly plain Jane website just looking at it here.
It is, and it's the whole thing's quite plain Jane. All of Steam is pretty easy to use. There's forums on there, so you can get, and it's got really good support as well. It's all made by Valve, which are a developer and publisher that are behind some pretty massive names. Mm-hmm. So you know that it's definitely well-loved and well-respected and really good. But it's you can jump on there and buy Portal, which I all recommend you should buy. That's an easy way to buy Portal and without having to buy the actual box.
So how would you do it? Is there, like, where's the buy button or where's the sign-up button or something like that?
You can go to... Yep, sorry, Ron's on.
Oh, I've got all the way through to... putting in my existing Steam account details or creating a new free account. So let me say, join Steam. And I'll create a new free account.
Okay.
You've
got to get your credit card out next, by the
sounds. I want to find out how it's going to charge me, if it's going to be credit card or...
Getting Steam's free, but then buying the cards, the games on there then does cost money.
So where do you get the game cards from? Are they like the local supermarket or...
No cards. Sorry, that was a slip of the tongue. You just get...
I envisage you walking into Safeways or Kmart and buying an iTunes card. So
No, you can't do that. You can do everything by credit card. And I think there is PayPal support, but I can't find anything right now. But I'll have a look up that in a minute. But it's really, really good. And it's a portal that most gamers are familiar with. PC gamers, that is. There's Currently, if I look on the website, there's 1.7 million gamers online using Steam right now.
Cool.
So do you have to be logged in to play a game, do you?
Yeah, and they've got cloud availability on certain games where you can, any computer that's got Steam on it, you can log into your Steam and then pick up your save games and your button configurations that you prefer and, you know, inverting the mouse or doing whatever you personally do to make games more personalized for you. You can just sit down at any computer that has Steam on it and jump in, which is really cool.
Very good.
Yeah, and there's Steam in a lot of internet cafes and whatnot that have everything all loaded up and ready to go, and you can just log into your Steam and go. And it's, yeah, I love it. If I could buy every game on Steam, I would.
Very good.
It's a good recommendation. It is. Good endorsement.
Yeah. It's a great way to get games too, rather than going to the shop. And how do the prices compare?
A hell of a lot cheaper.
It is cheaper, is it?
A hell of a lot cheaper.
Even in Australian currency?
Yep, sometimes up to 70% off.
Wow.
Like, it's really, really, really cheap.
What about PlayStation games? You mentioned that they were looking at it,
that's
but
still that's still kind of new. Okay. I think Portal 2 will be on PlayStation 3 and PC and Mac as well.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure on that one. Have to look that up.
Because they have their own shop. Why would they want to let somebody else distribute their wares?
Yeah. Well, it's because Portal 2 was made by Valve, who owns Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're going to try and pump it through Steam as much as possible.
Steam accepts the following secure payment methods: MasterCard, Visa, Amex. Discover, is it JCB, PayPal?
Oh, yeah. It is PayPal.
And Click and Buy. That's good. I like the PayPal option. That's great.
Yeah, I like PayPal. Yeah, into your details once. No one can get it.
Yeah.
Very good.
So they're famous for their massive Steam sales that they do every you know, 6 months or so. They'll do a huge Steam sale where you can buy for about, sometimes even about $30 can get you something like 50 games.
Wow.
So, yeah, they do.
I keep the kids entertained for years.
They do huge sales. It's really cost effective. If you don't mind not having a hard copy of whatever you're playing, then you'll probably love it.
As long as you can back it up somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually, you know, I haven't had any problems personally with anything on Steam before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's good support there if something does go pear-shaped.
Very good.
But, yeah, it's a really, really easy way to get good, cheap games.
Yep.
And to stay in touch with your mates, see what they're playing, organise to play a game together. There's a chat feature and a video chat, voice chat feature as well.
Oh, no, Steambook.
Steambook. No. It's not quite like Facebook and all those. No. It's just a simple chat client. I can load it up for you so you can have a look.
Steam Tubes.
Steam Tubes. Oh, dear.
And it's just something, see, Graham, you can look at my computer now. This is my friend's list on the right-hand side of my computer that I just have always sitting there.
This is really good for radio.
Yeah. It is great for radio, yeah. And you can see all the games my friends are playing.
It looks a bit like MSN, except it's all reverse colours. It's black background and white.
Black background, yeah. But you can right-click on one of your mates' names, bring a little drop-down menu and launch the game they're playing, jump into the game they're playing and play with them. And it's all very easy and streamlined, and the matchmaking is really good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Just because you mentioned MSN, Graham.
Yes.
I playing around with Microsoft's cloud offering during the week. Do you know you get 25 gig of free space to store your photos and stuff like that?
Yay, cloud.
That's pretty good. I just don't know where your photos are going to end up. But
they're just going to end up. They're just going to end up.
Yeah. But I think that's got to be
don't you worry about where. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
It's a great way to back up off-site things that you want to back up in case of accidental theft, damage, fire.
Yeah, give it all to
cyclone,
Microsoft.
Cyclone, all that. Yeah. Just give it all to, Microsoft.
Yeah.
25 gig.
I can't think of anything I'd like to do less.
Well, you could always encrypt it, put a zip file and a password or something like that. But it is. If you don't want to spend the money and you've got plenty of bandwidth to burn, upload.
Yeah, there'd be certain things for which that would be very good, I agree. Despite my joking.
I might put some game recommendations on the forum too.
That'd be good.
If you do get Steam, I've got a few recommendations to get you started. And when the sales come around, I'll let you know and you can all have a look because there are some fantastic bargains.
That'd be good. You could also follow Lena on Twitter if you game.
Yes, you can.
She tweets really
incessantly,
good stuff. Yeah,
but in a good way.
just
not in an annoying way or anything.
Don't have the SMS option active if you're a Telstra customer.
Oh, jeez. You can add me on Steam as well.
Lena, you'd be proud of me. I played my first 3D PlayStation game last night. Motor Storm, Pacific Rift.
Yeah.
With a little dune buggy thing and you're driving across the beaches and through the jungle and stuff.
Cool.
And I thought I got motion sick in 2D. Oh. 3D.
With the depth perception.
But it works really well. This is with the 3D glasses and the Sony Bravia. And you go into the menu setting in the game and you say, go to 3D. And the TV goes, hang on a minute, flicker, flicker, flicker. And you get a Bravia message saying, 3D input detected. And it comes back to the game and you pop your glasses on and you go, whoa.
Awesome. I had a play with the Avatar game in 3D a few years back, and that was
years back. Amazing. It was that long ago.
Yeah, this was
really.
Yeah, eGames 2009 was the eGames Expo. I played it there. Yeah, it was fantastic. Really, really impressive. The beautiful jungle scene of Avatar and everything. Looked amazing.
Speaking of not having hard copies of games, mm-hmm. this is a game which I downloaded in the PlayStation Network.
Yep.
I had a voucher which prompted me to put in a 15-digit code, and it was mm-hmm. a bit of a bonus promotional thing which I got with the TV.
Yep.
And, yeah, I could download half a dozen games. So I just went, oh, I don't know what these are. Bang, 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 bang. Download, please. So they're all now downloaded and installed on the hard disk in my PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I can just go in there from the main menu and select whichever game I want, and off I go.
It's fantastic. And because there isn't something being physically made, there's usually a much better price associated with it.
Keeps the costs down. So, yeah. Of course it does, yeah.
So it's really good. And Valve try their best to give you a good gameplay experience while you're playing on Steam, and they have a lot of anti-cheat things on the servers so that you're not playing with people who aren't very nice and cheating and all that. So they do a lot of things to try and make your experience good.
That's good, because I've noticed with the PlayStation, you can play in your own room, with invite your friends, or you can go out there and play with the masses in the big global room. And they're all a bit, you know, I don't play in the global rooms because they're all a bit, from here, or you're from there, or you're not qualified, or this or that. And it's like, oh yeah, give me a break. So
the good thing about Steam is with that, the forums and the community associated with it, you can find your little niche that you fit into. If you do want to play out there in the big bag world, you can find people. Like, there's certain servers where only people over age 35 are allowed to go in, and things like that. So you're not playing with 12-year-old people all the time. Or
that's good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things out there, and Steam works as a great portal to your gaming on your computer.
Thank you. I feel informed now in the games.
And now you can get Portal. This is the whole reason I'm doing this.
Yeah, I know.
You want to play Portal. You have to play Portal.
I've got a sore foot. I'll go and play Portal.
The rules.
I found a Flash version of Portal somewhere.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Played that for about 5 minutes. Yeah, lost interest.
Then it wasn't the real Portal. No.
Okay. In some other news before we go to the Oddspot gadget and website of the week in about 6 minutes' time, I had the rather solemn occasion of going into Channel 9 here in Melbourne at Bendigo Street in Richmond during the course of the week, because it's the end of an era here. They're bulldozing the old TV studios there, and I was walking through the hallowed halls there, which were not a...
22 Bendigo Street, Richmond.
Yeah, that's the one. It was really... we went... They had an auction,
that's
Grace.
Where you had to send your What Cheeses Me Off and your...
That's
and
right.
All those things.
All those sort of things.
Embedded deeply in the lower recesses of my brain.
Yeah, well, those
Saturday mornings
studios in the not too distant will be bulldozed to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. The eastern spiral arm of the television galaxy.
So sad.
It is very sad. And I was wandering through the newsroom and what's left of the newsroom that's just basically carpet and benches with the odd bit of Cat 5 lying around the place. And the racks in the equipment rooms and things like that, which things were bolted down to, are sort of like being jemmied out with people with crowbars and stuff like that. And
very sad.
It is. It's the end of an era, especially if you're involved in the television industry. So I think, as I tweeted during the day, long live Channel 9's Bendigo Street production. So
where has Channel 9 moved to?
They've moved to Bourke Street in Docklands.
In the city?
Yeah, well, down
Western
in Docklands.
End,
the
Western end of the city?
Down near the Roman Centre. So they haven't got far to go for a news story now. Let's walk across the road. So they're down that way. Near Channel 7. Channel 7, the 7 BCM, the broadcast centre, is... so anything you watch anywhere in Australia comes out of Melbourne at the Docklands Stadium there. That's where Channel 7 is. They've got file server after file server after file server.
So have they fixed their UPS?
Yeah.
They had a big problem with their UPS one night a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that cost them a lot of money, that. But I think they did get over that down the track. But
that was so funny to watch.
Yeah, it was grey on screen for a while, if I recall. Yeah. Anyway, Channel 9 comes out of Sydney now. They've finally got their act together, so all media now goes to TCN 9 in Willoughby.
Yeah, you can tell when you watch the news.
And why? How can you tell? They're cutting late, are they?
No, just all Sydney stories.
Oh, okay. And then the other thing is 10 obviously has always come out of Ultimo up there too. So there you go. Now you know where the commercial stations live.
Channel 9 had a terrible news run a few weeks ago here.
Did they? I think I heard something about that.
It was really bad. It was like a train wreck in slow motion. They actually did roll in the Sydney news on in Melbourne. So they had the
networking
TCN stories.
That happens.
Probably 30 seconds of TCN.
Did you have a Brian told me up there? What's he? I don't even know.
No, I think it was Peter Overton was reading it. Yeah. And then suddenly, bang! It just changed very abruptly, in a very uncivilized fashion to Peter Hitchin. Reading the news here, and then he lost his auto cue, and he'd had no auto cue for probably half the program, almost all up to sports
that
segment.
That sorts the men's out from the boys.
Oh, and he was really struggling. He did a great job, but you could tell he was reading off his notes, and he was struggling, really struggling. Mm. So,
anyway, there you go. Sad day last week.
So technology doesn't just fail for the humble little technology radio programs. It's the big guys.
Oh, yeah,
happens too as well.
The best higher you go, the further you fall.
Well,
so,
yeah, it's true.
Have you ever listened to ABC radio? You think we have trouble in here? We're getting enough to go to air.
Certain people on that radio station that have finger problems and our phones. They've got the worst phone system in the world. Anyway, just before we do go, there's a few other things. We'll do the manic sort of 3 minutes here. I think
the manic minute. Here we go.
The manic minute. Facebook is trying to gain ownership over 21 domain names that include the term Facebook, including killingfacebook.com, facebookstuff.com, and facebooksafety.com. The domain names are all currently owned by a company called Domain Asset Holdings, a domain squatter based in Maryland in the United States.
Oh, Chrome could not find killingfacebook.com.
No. Anyway, indeed, when you visit those URLs, they are listed for sale. Even some feature the reverse price. Facebookcheats.com is $4,000. Okay, so if you get infamous and famous, watch out. People will cyber squat you. And I've also noticed, too, that if you let your domain name lapse, .com.au now, it'll go, like, in a flash. So don't let your domain names lapse if you want to keep them. Make sure you keep those $40-odd, $50-odd, or if you're with a Melbourne IT, $3,000 bills paid up. So,
welcome to FacebookSucks.com. Has your Facebook account been disabled? Can you not send friend requests? Do you have any other problems with Facebook? For a social network, that sounds surprisingly unsocial, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's a legit one, is it, you found? Yeah, good.
Oh, dear.
Microsoft are going to pay $7.5 million US for the last batch of IP4 addresses because we're all running out of IP6 addresses.
What a waste of money. Oh, why would you bother?
The value of IP4 addresses is set to rise as companies look to snap up the remaining addresses ahead of the switch to IP version 6, according to the academics. The prediction came from the Internet Governance Project following Microsoft's decision to snap up 666,624 IP addresses for $7.5 million, or $11.25 per address for those mathematically inclined. So there you go. That's what Microsoft's currently buying. Telcos in Australia are offering new broadband packages for the new iPad 2. Optus and Vodafone have unveiled new starter packs in the preparation for iPad 2's Australian debut. The device, obviously, as Lena was saying, is now available. So just check out your options when it comes to connecting it to a telco.
Pricey, though. 3G models are pricey. Starting in Australia from $729 for the 16-gig version. 32-gig version's $839.
You know the funny thing?
The version is $949, nearly $1,000.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, our dollar has never been as high. I was reading an article before I came on air. It's the highest it's ever been, 102 cents to the dollar. 102.5, I think, as we go to air.
Wow.
Cents to the dollar, which is good. So
still
if you want to buy some anything out of the States,
but there's still
the
mystery unexplained Apple conversion dollars.
Ah, yeah. It's the reality distortion field that is known as Apple.
Because the prices in the States the advertised prices don't include taxes.
Yeah.
Whereas ours do,
yep.
But that still does not account for the big price disparity.
No, exactly.
That would account for 10% disparity.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, iOS 5, which is the operating system of your iGadget of choice, many people were disappointed that Apple didn't devote any time during the recent iPad 2 unveiling to talk about version 5 of the next little gadget software. Anyway, there's a very good reason for that. It's not coming anytime soon. Allegedly, apparently. In fact, the plan right now is to wait to launch iOS 5 until the autumn fall, as they say, which is our springtime. So WWDC normally is around that time, the Mac Worldwide Developer Conference. That'll probably be about the same time as we see JD next, won't it?
In fall.
So, yes.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, it is fall, isn't it?
It is fall right now.
It is. That's where the leaves. For us it is, but for them it's spring. Spring has sprung in lovely
springing.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some iOS news. Google is also taking to mobile payment options. You know how we talked about the iPhones having near field technology, the new versions?
Chips.
Yeah,
yep.
So you can pop into your local whatever shop and wave your phone across it and ka-ching, they take the money out of your account.
Yes.
Anyway, Google's having a bit of a look into that sort of technology at the moment, teaming up with MasterCard and Citigroup to embed technology into Android mobile phone devices. That'll probably do the same thing. So, not wanting to be left out, they're keeping up with the Joneses absolutely beautifully. Now, speaking of Google, Google is delaying the widespread access to its new version of Android operating system. This will be, what's it called? The Gingerbread Man, if you have
G for Gingerbread, on F for Froyo at the moment.
Yeah. What have you got on your device?
I've got Froyo.
Have you?
Yep.
Yeah, 2.2.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for G for Gingerbread.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Google unveiled Android 3, known as Honeycomb, earlier this year.
H for Honeycomb.
Yep. Billing it as the first version of the Android operating system designed from the ground up for use in tablet PCs.
Don't
so that
be
one.
A Google hater.
I'm not a hater. Apple I just want to use girl. Numbers. Let's use numbers. All these silly words are silly.
Well, it could be cats.
Too much filly-fally.
It could be filly-fally.
Filly-fally.
Speaking of silly words.
Yes. Yeah, what's the next? We've run out of cats, haven't we?
It
could
lion.
Be cats.
Lions.
Cougars.
No.
No?
Maybe fruit.
Fruit.
Do you reckon? Apple?
I don't know.
Pear?
Yes, pear.
Honeycomb.
Pear shape.
Gingerbread.
Honeycomb software is already available on the Motorola Zoom tablet, which went on sale in February.
Chocolate.
So it's out there. I haven't got 2.3 on my device yet either. Chocolate, that'd be good.
Chocolate.
Yeah, flavours, dark, light, peppermint, spearmint, all those sort of good things.
Coffee.
You're a Google hater.
I'm not a hater. I don't hate anything.
Google's yet added speech recognition to Chrome. Are you interested in that?
Yeah.
Okay. She says convincingly.
Yeah. Whatever.
While you're at it. Yeah. Or do you want me to just go music and we'll go to the Oddspot Gadget and website?
No, go for it.
I still haven't figured out voice dialing on my Android.
I mean, well, Google's added the potential is the word here, for voice recognition to the beta version of its Chrome browser and the latest update to its software. So you load up the beta version and see if you can find an option to put speaking to it. So maybe we'll be talking to our browsers in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I won't be.
No?
No.
No.
I can type faster than I can talk. Especially
I
when
find
it computes-
that hard to believe. Really?
Yeah, especially when it you've seen me angry. You call me an angry typer.
No, we've heard you type on the radio show. oh, look. And the other, last but not least, AFAC. Do you remember them? The Australian Federation of Australian Commercial...
Against Copyright Theft.
Yeah, those people. They have done the unthinkable. They're actually going to the High Court to have a go.
That's not the unthinkable. No, it's a necessary progression.
Okay.
It's logical progression, isn't it?
Logical, not necessary.
In a way it is necessary, because if you don't take it all the way, then it's not as good a precedent for the future.
Oddspot Gadget, website of the week.
And app.
An app.
Don't forget the giveaway.
Oh, I forgot about that. We're running out of time. Quick.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOSS as well?
Steve Wozniak, the traitor.
I'm down to 4 cables again, not 14,000.
Go
upgrade.
Away.
Click it, upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic,
this
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
Just to prove that I'm not a hater, even though some of the panellists are.
I'm not a hater.
This week's gadget, Andrew, is what you called last week the AirBook, which I thought was a good abbreviation, a functional...
It is an AirBook. It's
all
a book of air.
Description. Apple's MacBook Air 13-inch retails for $15.99.
I've had one. I've had one in my hot little hand, and it's very good.
Operating system is Mac OS 10, 10.7. Like there's a 13.3-inch screen with 1440x900 resolution, an Intel Core 2 Duo SL9400 1.86 gigahertz processor, 256 meg NVIDIA GeForce 320M graphics, 2 gig of memory, 128 gigabyte SSD drive, which is nice.
And it'll fit in a manila envelope.
It will. It boots up very quickly.
And SSD drives are a great idea.
Do you know what? Solid state disk, no moving parts.
The best thing I liked about it was the power lead. Have you seen the power lead for them? They're magnetic.
Yeah, all the Macs are.
But this one was awesome. You just wave it near and it goes
and it clicks. Sucks in, yeah.
It sucks into
this
power thing.
The same thing.
Really?
T3 magazine says they love that it has unparalleled portability and usability, decent performance. They hate that it's expensive and has limited connectivity and storage.
Oh, so they're haters.
Optical drive. No, they're lovers and haters. They've given both. They say this is the most desirable ultra portable on the market, combining design elegance with just enough power. 4 out of 5 stars.
But does it come preloaded with GarageBand?
Yes,
it comes with GarageBand. For more information,
catching on,
go to www.apple.com/au. Andrew, our gadget, the Apple MacBook Air 13-inch.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Do you want cash for your old mobile phone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, rather than giving it to someone to trash for you, cash is good.
www.mazumamobile.com.au. MAZUMA Mobile. Mazuma Mobile. For a quotation, just type in your old phone's model number.
Or you can get a quote.
You can browse. Yes, you can get a quote. Or
what do you
browse
get for an iPhone
the image gallery.
3G.
Well, I went for the old HTC Dream, which I replaced.
Of course you did.
You have to select if. I'm not a hater because I stuck with HTC and I stuck with that operating system.
Right in the car park when we leave here tonight.
You're a hater.
Hater.
You select your hand if your handset's working or not working. So it doesn't actually have to be functional. It could be not working. But if it is working...
You get more.
You should be... Yes. And you should be able to turn it on and off. It should be fully functional. It's allowed to have normal cosmetic wear and tear. It must have a working screen. You must include the battery. And it must be healthy, not crushed or water damaged. And for my HTC Dream, Mazuma Mobile said they pay me $67 for a piece of junk that's now sitting in my drawer not doing anything.
What do they do to it? Send it that's to a right. developing nation of mobile technology or something like
potentially,
that?
Potentially. So you can choose electronic funds transfer or check for payment. Payment, oh, cool. they say, is usually made within 48 hours of receipt of the phone. Once you complete the transaction on the website, they post you a sales pack, which includes the sales confirmation and a free post bag and post the instructions to send the device back.
Fantastic.
So that's the website. I thought it was a great idea.
I can get that many dollars for my Nokia E51.
You can, Graham. And
that's a surprise.
Why wouldn't you? It is a surprise. I'm sure you paid slightly less for it for it new. Mazumamobile.com.au.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
This is giveaway 3.
Of four,
isn't it? 3 or 4?
Only if you've told us what it is
on the
website.
Somebody is about to win a Plantronics M100 headset.
And that Plantronics M100, of course, is an ultra-slim, lightweight headset that includes advanced technology to deliver clear and neutral audio. Thank you very much to Plantronics for donating the prizes. This week's winner, Tech Talk Radio friend, long-time friend, contributor, TARDIS 3.
Oh, well done, TARDIS.
Michael says, I recently purchased MetroView GPS application for my iPhone. The GPS market, he says, is full of similar devices which cost hundreds of dollars. This app cost me only $18.99. It has all the features of a turn-by-turn GPS. It's simple to use, more accurate, he says, than a Garmin, TomTom, and NavMam that I've trialed.
Can't be hard.
It integrates easily with the iPhone. It monitors speed by alerting you if you go over the speed limit, in particular in school areas where the speed's reduced only at certain times, and there are no ongoing subscription costs. It's free to use after the initial purchase, and it is Australian-made. The website, says TARDIS, is metroview.com.au/iphone.html. I hope I win. Michael, you did.
You did, Michael. And you can come along, and all the ones that we've spoken about and all of our suggestions we're putting up on the web. So you can come along, have a browse, have a look, have a tweet. Tweet it out to all your friends and see if they've got others. So based on that, we've got one more headset
to go.
So you've got one more week to get your act together. All other entries are obviously still in the running, so... There's been some rippers, I must admit.
There has. So thank you for the contribution, TARDIS. And as Andrew said, there's one to go, so get your contributions in.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
My, the meatloaf!
Bob. James Bob.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
In Australia, we dial 000 in an emergency. In America, some parts of America at least, you dial 911.
Well, what parts don't you?
A lot of parts. Not all over
the
states.
What's the number?
There are just local numbers in the states. It's not everywhere.
What, so you could be somewhere and, oh, quick, I need a whatever, and what's their number?
911 always works. I think,
does it?
Everywhere.
Does
email us if 911 is not your contact number, your emergency contact number in the United States. I don't think it's everywhere. It's like 60 or 70% of the states. Anywho.
Anywho? The people are on AT&T and whatever it is.
The odd spot this week, Ohio police say a man who had just been arrested and was jailed for disorderly conduct decided he needed help to get out of jail, so he dialed 911 to complain about his predicament and to tell operators that he was being held against his will. "They've got me in handcuffs," he said, "from the county jail, and I can't get my phone call. I can't do anything," he reportedly told an emergency dispatcher. When the dispatcher asked him of his whereabouts, he said, "Well, I'm in jail. I'm in the county jail." "Well, it's not the county jail, it's a holding cell," he said. Apparently he'd been handcuffed to the door of a cell because officers said he wouldn't calm down and they were afraid he would hurt himself or cause damage.
Send the officers in to let him go.
Police took his cell phone away from him after the 911 call was placed. He now faces an additional criminal charge of misusing a 911 service.
That's very funny. And that's the odd spot. That's per normal. There we go. Tech Talk Radio for yet another week. Don't forget next week, Daylight Savings. Put your clocks forward, back, or whatever you need to do, but we'll be a little different. We'll be an hour earlier.
And change your smoke alarm battery.
Oh, yeah, yes. Do that too. And then go and change people's other clocks after they've changed it and have a lot of fun with it.
Mark Diggins says 911 not in Canada, he thinks.
Well, yes.
There you go. But that's not America. That's it's not Canada.
America. It's
they must have their own number over
Canada.
There.
Canada.
What's the America? What's the UK version?
UK is 999.
999.
Okay.
And in
so if you're dialing outside line too many times, you're in deep trouble.
You're in a lot of trouble.
New Zealand is 111, I think.
Yes, really? I think you're right, Lena. A lot of parts of Europe, it's 112.
Oh, you learn something every
According
day.
According to Wikipedia, 911 works in Canada.
We have to go.
We'll make some inquiries. We will report back this time, next week.
Okay.
Less 1 hour.
So that's been Tech Talk Radio for
Less
this
one
week.
Hour.
Yep. Bye for now. See you all next week. Catch you on the pod.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Lena van der Venter. Expert opinion is provided by Adam Turner and our US correspondents are Lydia Davis and Mark Diggins. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. The show is broadcast, recorded and streamed live each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wishes to thank all the stations around Australia that rebroadcast Tech Talk Radio each week. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising inquiries, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.